winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses up above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercies and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Okay. Well, I am. You know what? I am thankful for the military. I really am. And more and more, the longer I live, I, as y'all know, I'm a missionary and I go to a lot of different places. And one place I heard about from the time I was a little bitty kid was Germany. And because my dad fought the Nazis. As a matter of fact, he fought all the way across France, and he went in and he actually occupied a town in Germany for a while. He was the Burgermeister. And that doesn't mean he's good at making hamburgers. This is a mayor. And I grew up, you know, if you're my generation, you grew up and you always thought of the Germans as the bad guys. They were in the early cartoons. Remember all that? When you were growing up, they were the bad guys. And so I always kind of had this idea, you know, this thought of, God, I've got to get rid of this prejudice. Because I'd always think, how could those people do that? How could they do that? And so first time I taught it at Rhema in Germany, somebody was asking about what my dad did. And I said, well, my dad was in the military. I said, you know, I was a little embarrassed to say. I said, he drove the Germans out of France, you know, along with a bunch of other people. And I said, and he fought his way all the way in. And I told him the story. And I said, you know, so I guess he rescued the French from the Nazis. And she said, yeah, he rescued a lot of us from the Nazis too. And that gave me it's so funny, all that childhood prejudice just washed away in an instant. And I thought, man, all those people were oppressed by that guy. All of them. Pushed under, and especially the Christians and the Jews, right? And but all of them. And so I'm just thankful for the American military, who has fought all over the world to liberate people. That's all we've ever fought for, you know? Isn't that the truth? It's amazing. Our armies have always fought to set people free. Wow, what can you... You know, we never tried to make a big kingdom out of the United States, have we? You know, and it's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. So now I'm going to change the subject. I'm going to be able to air here to change the subject. I was in Fresno, California one time. Ministered in a church out there. And had a really good time. Pastor, a strong faith guy, and just a beautiful church. And then he said, I want you to go in and pray for my mom. Because he said, my mom has been diagnosed with... metastatic liver cancer. That's the same thing that Jody Osteen had. And so I went in to see his mom and to talk to her. And, you know, like anybody, I don't know where she's coming from spiritually. I don't know her story. So I thought, I'll just share some scriptures to kind of help build her faith. And we can pray for her. And so I told her, I said, you know, I'd like to pray for you about this cancer thing. And I said, I just want to read a couple scriptures, and I read a couple scriptures about how it was God's will to heal people, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, and Jesus, that's still the way he is, and things like that, you know. And she stopped me. She said, no, I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry. I don't want you to pray for me about this cancer. She said, this cancer is a blessing that was given to me by God to bring me close to him. And I argued with her a little bit. You have to, you know. But she would have none of it. I told her, I said, oh, you know, I know this person named Odie Osteen. And I said, she had this same thing, and she was in stage 4. And she's, Lord, how old is she now, you know? I don't know how old. That was 30 years ago, yeah. And great health, and, you know, it was sad. I wish there was a real happy ending. Maybe there is. Sometimes, you know, you don't hear what happens after you leave. So you don't know, but I trust, I just pray for her. I trust that God let the lights come on in her heart to see what he's really like. But this is the thing I really want to talk about this morning. It's really important. We were singing that song, Open My Eyes, Lord. And I thought, I always want that. Open my eyes, God, to see you and who you really are and what you're really like. Because God is a good God. Who wants good for us?
Amen.
But you know, it's funny. A lot of people nowadays, they'll say God's good. God's a good God. They'll confess it. But a lot of times the things that we say and the things that we think in the back of our mind, the back of our heart, they don't necessarily reflect that belief that God really is good. Sometimes we kind of talk out of both sides of our mouth. I've literally heard people say about this epidemic that's been going around, saying, oh, you know, this is such a blessing to us. You know, we get to stay home and all this. And I want to tell you something, y'all. The sickness and disease is not a blessing. It's not a blessing. It does not come from God. It comes, there was nothing. How do you know God's will? What were things like when God was in charge in the Garden of Eden? What will things be like when God's fully in charge in heaven? They don't have COVID-19 there, right? But see, what we get confused about and what we get mistaken about is God can bring a blessing out of anything because he refuses to lose, you know? He refuses to see us lose. And so that even when things go wrong and the devil attacks and things that were designed to destroy us or to hurt us come against us, God can bring a victory out of it in some way or other, no matter what.
Yes,
so God, you know, God has gone, you know what? He's moved people and he's moved things. And so the good things have happened to us because of this. Well, not because of it, despite this.
Right.
Even better, God will make something bad, make even better things happen for us. I just think it's his way of getting back at the devil, you know. But he's never the source of this junk. Listen, I was a systematic theology major. That means learning that there is an organization to theology. And theology is not a dirty word. It just means you're logical about your faith. And believe me, faith is a logical thing. I mean, if God says, believe and you'll receive, there's logic in that. God said it. So I'm going to do it, and it's going to work. There's a logic in that. And what I'm trying to say is our theology, our thinking about God has to be consistent with the Word of God, and the Word of God is consistent.
Yes, it is.
And sometimes we can't see, we see things that look like they're slightly contradictory on the surface, but if we dig down deep into the original languages, or we dig down deep into the situations and some other things that are just too complicated to talk about here, you'll see that consistency all the way through of the Word of God. It is a logical book. It is set, in it is set a revelation of God's nature that you can understand and a rational brain can understand. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not a dirty word. Theology is a good thing. Amen. Amen. But now there's this song. I heard this song, and it's so funny. It's a song about choice. And actually, that's the first point I want to bring out here. One of the first things that God gave human beings when he made them was a freedom of choice.
That's
Did you know
right.
that?
That's right.
That is a choice between good and evil, right? This song, Any of y'all old enough to remember the Carpenters? You remember a group called the Carpenters? Remember that? And Karen Carpenter, what a voice. Oh, my gosh. That, I got to say to the younger generation now, this is great because you can access all this stuff. You can go online and you can find it. Listen to Karen Carpenter sing. Man, I wish I could sing like that. Anyway, she had this song. It was called Bless the Beasts and the Children. I don't know if any of y'all remember that, but it was Bless the Beasts and the Children, the first line. Bless the beasts and the children, for in this world they have no sway. They have no say. And I thought about that, and I thought it's, you know, whoever wrote that song obviously had never owned a cat. Cats just, they just have a way of letting you know what they want, don't they? And getting it. Or a parrot, good Lord. Y'all know I raise parrots. I'll tell you about parrots. They will get what they want. But no, in the larger sense, it's absolutely true. Animals don't have the ability to change the world the way we do. They don't have the ability to change their lives the way we do. God created human beings not only with the freedom to choose, but the freedom to determine their outcomes and their destinies over the long terms, and the destinies of their children and their children's children. This is called dominion. Yes. Amen? Yes, authority. Amen. And it's something that's unique to human beings because God gave it to us. If you go to Genesis 1, I love these scriptures. And I love the way God created us. So this is a really interesting thing. Genesis 1 and let me go to 26. Because God had made everything that he'd made. 25 says, God made the beasts of the earth, the cattle, everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was all good. And then God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Now you see, he hadn't said that about any of the other things that he'd created. He just made them after some image or form that he had in his mind. He said, you know, he made a fish like a fish. But he said, let's make man like us. And then it goes on to tell how he made us like him. It said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. He made them like him. So this is the thing. Image, likeness. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Image is like a reflection. It's like you look in a mirror or in a photograph. Yes. In our image, we are like him. And in our likeness, we are like God. Yes. Now, we're not gods, obviously. But there is a little weird scripture that says, has the scripture not said you're gods, Jesus said. And what he means by that is something that rules over something else. And God did create us to rule over something. And what did he create us to rule over? All the earth. All the earth. So if God made us to rule like he rules over the universe, and he made us to rule over the earth, what he did was delegate the leadership of ruling the earth to who? To us. Some people wonder, well, I don't understand. If God is a good God, why is there sickness and death? Guess what? God didn't do that. We did. We did that. We let that in to the place that God had given us to rule. Amen? Yeah. Now, in the second chapter of Genesis, it talks about that. That God, in order for this to work, in order for us not to be puppets, in order us to really be like him in his likeness, we have to have free will. We have to have the ability to make choices. So, y'all ever wonder, why did God put that tree in the garden with the bad fruit? Well, because we had to have a choice to choose right or wrong, good or evil. And so he gave Adam and Eve that original choice. After he made the man and the woman, Bennett says, he commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you can eat. And verse 17 says this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. I mean, he gives them a tip. Don't do it. For in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. So here's this man. God's given him the garden. He's given him the whole world, really. And he said, there's one thing here. He gives him a tip. He said, there's one thing here. You have a choice to eat this or not eat this, but I'm just going to tell you, don't. And it's interesting because it's called the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Because honestly, all Adam knew was good. But he said, if you eat of this, you'll know something other than good. And you don't want to. You'll die. And all the things that death implies. Poverty, sickness, hurt, all loss and hurt, you know? All those things. God was trying to warn Adam not to choose the wrong thing. And yet, for Adam to be a viable ruler of the earth, he had to have a choice. There's a dignity in choice, you know? There's a dignity in that. And it's God created us to have that dignity. To be sentient beings who can choose right or wrong. Well, you know the story. Genesis 3:17 and following all Genesis. Eve and Adam, they get deceived and they eat that fruit. And that's why the world is the way it is. You say, I don't understand why there's a pandemic in the world. Well, I'll tell you what. It's man's choice. We chose that as a race, as a... as beings that were given authority over this planet. But here's the good news about it. We still have choices. Yes. But we got to learn to choose the good over the evil. How do you define good? You know, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to tack this head on. There's a theology that floats around nowadays that takes away man's position in the world and just makes God the ruler of everything. That sounds good, doesn't it? He is the ruler of everything? Well, he's not ruling the world because he stepped out of that and delegated that. But we get this idea that whatever happens, it's God. Because God's in control. See, everybody loves to say God's in control. Everyone wants to say God's in control. God is not in control of the world, y'all.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We are. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I know this is going to sound blasphemous to some people, but it's the Bible. Study the Bible. The Bible says it very plainly. So, God put the control of earth in our hands. But that, you know, I can see a theology major. That idea is called hyper-Calvinism. There was a guy named John Calvin. He lived in Geneva, Switzerland, way back. And he put together this theology of basically that, well, if you take it to its extreme, it's basically the idea that we're kind of puppets and the whole earth is kind of God's puppet ground and he's just moving all the pegs and doing whatever he wants. And if he kills people, that's good because he wants to kill them. And if he keeps them alive, that's good because he wants to keep them alive. And everything's God. Everything's God. You know? Of course, it's not taught in Scripture that way. This is what, you know about predestination. You've heard that term. That's what that comes from, John Calvin. And yes, the word is in the Bible, but it means God ordained good things for you if you want them.
Yes.
It doesn't mean he determined them that you don't have any choice.
Right.
So anyway, I'm getting into a lot of theology, but sometimes it's good to do that. Anyway, this idea of God just in control of the world and everything that happens is God is hyper-Calvinism. Not even Calvin would have taught that. It's over the top. God's in control of everything. Why did we have this pandemic? Well, God had a purpose in it. And, you know, there's another way people look at this. And it's kind of, to me, it's a cop-out. They go, well, God allowed it. See? God allowed it because he had a purpose in allowing it. Well, that's just the same thing, y'all. Come on. Either God wants to keep us from sickness and death and poverty, or he doesn't. And if he does want to, He's not going to be letting it leak into our lives to help us out in some way. How's it going to help us?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know, it's God is good. Good God, bad devil. Good God, yes. Bad devil. Right? You got to always got to remember this.
Yes.
God is good.
Amen.
Only good things come down from God. But God, did he allow it? No, we allowed it. Now, I'm not trying to say, all of y'all, what's wrong with you? You caused COVID-19. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it came from the garden. It came from the original choice. And sometimes, whether or not it comes into our lives, God has given us the freedom and ability, supernaturally, takes faith, to keep these things out of our lives.
Yes.
But, you know, there's some things we're up for and some things we're not, and things happen, right? But it's not God's fault.
Amen.
Because God is good. But God is always a deliverer, and he will always rescue us, save us, and protect us to the degree that we can reach out to him and believe him for those things. Amen?
Yes.
But the point is that only good things come from God. Oh, James 1:13. I got to read this. This is one of my favorite things. Because sometimes people will teach you, well, you know, this bad thing's happening in your life. God allowed this in your life because it's a test, to test you, to see whether or not your faith is strong, you know, or whatever. That's really interesting, except the scripture kind of contradicts that idea in quite a few places. And this has to do with, partly with, I'm going to go to James 3. If I talk and turn to scriptures at the same time, interesting things happen. Okay, 1:13. Okay. Very simply, James put it this way. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, if you look at this verse in its full context, this word tempt, there's a Greek word that's used for this, pyrosmos. It's called pyrosmos is the way I pronounce it anyway. And it means to try, primarily. It means to try. And then secondarily, it means to tempt, okay, or to test. But the first point, the first definition of that word is to try or test you. And James is saying very clearly, don't let anybody say when he is tested or tried or tempted, if you have an Amplified Bible, it says all three of those there, that God's doing this. Because God can't be tested, tempted, or tried. And he doesn't do that to anyone else. It says it right here. Nor does he himself test, tempt, or try anyone. Each one is tempted, tested, or tried when he's drawn away by his own desires. Right? He's just saying, people cause their own trouble. Right? Do not be deceived. Verse 16. My beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Not the bad stuff. Not the tests, not the trials, not the troubles. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Comes down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
I love this next line. With whom there is no variation.
Amen.
Or shadow of turning.
Amen.
God is always good, always light, and there's not even a slight change or turning in that. He does not cast shade on anyone.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Amen?
Because
he's a good God. He's a good God that only wants good for us. I got to reemphasize. Poverty, sickness, and death are the curse. Always. Lack is a curse. It's not a good thing. Right? I mean, I can guarantee you. I've been in lack. I know what it's like to not have enough. And that is not a blessing. And no blessing ever came out of that for me. You know? Sickness. I've been sick. Yeah. It's not fun. It's not Jesus. Jesus went about. Right? We know this verse. Don't let circumstances determine your theology.
That's good.
Get it from the Bible.
Amen.
Amen? I had a dream. I was a baby Christian, very young Christian. For some reason or other, all my life, God has spoken to me a lot. He's spoken to me in dreams and things like that. in that kind of a discernment of spirits thingy. But I, even as a baby Christian, before I even really understood what was going on, I had this dream about God, and I dreamed that God, that I was a little mouse. And I and my little Christian friends, we were little mice. And I dreamed that God was up in heaven with this big meat cleaver, you know, meat cleaver, big whacker. And he was going down there, and he was whacking at us. And he would sometimes nip off the tips of our tails. But he wasn't going to kill us. But he would give us a good, you know, a little clip off the tail. I know some of it came from three blind mice. I know, but you know, dreams, you know, dreams, right? But this was my dream. And when I awakened, I thought, man, God chasing me with a meat cleaver. And the Lord spoke to me right then, and he said, that's what you think of me, isn't it? He said, you think that these little trials and problems come up in your life, and these things, and these negative things, and you think I'm sending them, and I'm just going to whack at you a little bit, but I'm not going to kill you with it. And I thought, I apologize, God, that is, but what's true about you? And I began to pray. And back then, I mean, we didn't have the internet, you know, we didn't have all these things. But, and so to find Christian books, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know, I was a baby. I hadn't been saved a year. So I thought, I'll go to the library. And I went to the library, and I went to the religion section. Oh, Lord, that could be dangerous, couldn't it? That could be dangerous. I went in there, but God is so good. I'm looking through the spines of the books, all stacked up there, and I see one called God is a Good God. And I thought, that's it. And I pulled it out. And it was by some guy named Oral. And I told my mom, I brought the book home, and I said, Mom, have you ever heard of a guy named Oral Roberts? She said, oh, yeah, I know all about him, you know. And my mom wasn't a Christian at that time, but she knew who Oral Roberts was. And I read in there about how God was a God of kindness and gentleness and generosity and love. And yes, sometimes God will do harm. But you know when he'll do it? To protect you. Because defense is a good thing. And he will protect you. Somebody comes against you and tries to hurt you, God will defend you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He promised to defend you.
Amen.
But other than God's defense, which is a good thing, God's not, don't want to do harm to anybody. He wants to lift people. He wants to help people. He wants to bless them. But he gives them free governance over their own lives.
Oh, yeah.
If they want to hurt themselves, they have been given that authority as a human being. And you say, well, it just doesn't seem like a good God would even give that kind of responsibility to people. Well, the thing is, if he didn't, they wouldn't be people. They would be machines.
Right?
That's the dignity of choice. And that's dominion and power that he's given us that over the earth. And it just comes, by nature, it comes with a negative thing. But the negativity is not from God. Amen? It's because of God's character. Now, speaking of light, 1 John 1:5 is one of my favorite verses of all. And this is where John says not to be deceived. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Wow, does that sound like James? In there also, where he said, the Father of lights, with him there's no shadow of turning.
Yes.
God is light. There's no darkness in there at all. There's only good.
Amen.
Everybody say only good.
Only good.
Oh, that's one of my favorite
things.
Only good. Amen.
Amen.
John 10:10, Jesus gave the same explanation. You know, he said the thief comes. He's talking about the devil there. He's talking about evil in the world. He said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God's a God of abundance. Jesus is a Jesus of abundance. He's the God of abundance. And not stealing, not killing, not destroying. He's the source of the good things. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love that about Jesus. I love that. Amen. Hey, you know, did you ever check this out? I'm always interested in Greek words and Hebrew words. Jesus' name, I thought, what does Jesus' name mean? Well, Jesus' name is actually Joshua. Yeah, I mean, that's what he was named. You should call his name Joshua. It was the same name. It's just that the Greek derivative of Jesus, Joshua, is Jesus. And so that we have in our New Testament, we use the name Jesus. But here's the thing. What does that name mean? It means rescuer.
Yes.
It means
yes.
Saver.
Yes.
Saver. Like we use Savior. Saver. He saves us. He's the Savior. He's the rescuer. Jesus is not the one that brings the troubles. He's the one that brings the rescue.
Amen.
Amen. Because here's the great thing. Even when we've chosen poorly, you chose poorly. Remember when we've chosen poorly, Jesus is still available to rescue us from our bad decisions. How many? I can testify. How many of y'all can testify to that, right? We've made some bad choices in our lives from time to time. And not just before we got saved. Sometimes after we got saved, we made some poor choices. But you know, we have a rescuer. We got a rescuer who will rescue us and set us up on a rock in a high place and bring us back to our dominion and our authority in our life and let us make positive choices and save us from ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because Jesus is good. Amen. So, that's who he is. You shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior, not the afflicter. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Acts 10:38, right?
Yep.
So we have choice. And we have dominion, authority to rule in our world and determine the outcome of our lives. Since we have this choice, let's choose life. Remember what Moses said? This is Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God is again reminding us that Moses was a prophet of God, you know. God's reminding us again. We always have a choice. Let's choose life. When this stuff comes against us, for instance, the stuff that's right now out there, this COVID stuff, are we going to choose to walk in fear and invite it to come in, or are we going to choose to stand up and choose life and say, this stuff cannot touch me? You know, and I'm not preaching about what we do responsible things. You know, we wash our hands, we do whatever. And when the government tells us we need to wear a mask in some place, we just do it because, you know what? We're citizens. We try to be good citizens. But I'm saying we're not afraid.
Amen.
We're not afraid. John G. Lake, you remember John G. Lake? He was a, you know, previous way back revival. This was when the Black Plague was going around. And he asked some of the scientists of that day, he said, put some of that stuff on a test tube, would you, for me? And he put it on the test tube and he touched it and it died. That's us, y'all.
Amen.
We're full of the Holy Ghost and we don't need to walk in fear. We don't need to invite that stuff in by being terrified what might happen if we catch something, you know. Instead, we need to walk boldly and know that we have authority in the earth and tell that stuff, you're not coming near me. Sorry, no plague's going to come near my dwelling.
That's right.
You know, to be bold. And choose life by what you believe.
Yes, amen.
By what you believe about God, that he's a good God. And that he keeps us and protects us and guards us from the wicked one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To choose life by what we think about. And I want to tell you, we got to make decisions to think about the right things. Philippians 4:8, you know, tells us, whatever things are true, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things and the God of peace will be with you. By the way, that word term, the God of peace, you'll see that every once in a while in the Bible. And as people that, I'm getting technical here, but that we come from a Greek mindset, Western culture does. We're very heavily influenced by Plato, Socrates, Greek language. And that whole thought of peace, we always associate peace with this inner position or inner peace, the peace of the heart. And that is a good thing, and that is something that sometimes when Jesus is referring to peace, he's talking about that. But when you hear this term, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, that's talking about a different peace. That's talking about peace in our circumstances.
Yes, amen.
That's an external peace. There's an internal peace and there's an external peace. And the Hebrew word that's used for peace always means both. Actually, the Greek word, that's shalom, you know the word shalom. That's why it's a blessing, by the way. In the Holy Land still, they say shalom, you know, for high. It's peace.
Yes.
And they're not just talking about feel peaceful. They're not hippies. They're just talking about may your circumstances be peaceful and blessed, positive,
amen.
Right? You know? The chastisement of our peace fell upon him.
Yeah.
That's that Greek word. That's the external word of our peace in our circumstances. Now, you know, that's what really God would love to have for all of us to have, just peaceful circumstances all the way. He would love it, except we're human and we don't always go that route. But that's what he wants.
Yes.
You can tell that by, like I said before, the Garden of Eden in heaven, what God wants. He wants things to be well with us. So, but this is what he's saying. Whatever things are true, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things and the God of peace will be with you. So see, we can determine the direction of our life by what we think about. Right?
Amen.
We can. So choose life by what you believe. Choose life by what you think. Choose life by what you say. Everybody knows Mark 11:23, right? You can have what you say. Whatsoever you say will be done for you. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Say it. Agree with God's word.
Yeah.
You know, if God's word says, God will keep me from the wicked one,
right.
Say it.
Yeah.
And when the wicked one comes in a form of a disease, say, hey, you know what? God's going to keep me from disease.
That's right.
God's going to keep me from car wrecks. God's going to keep me from... I trust God to keep me from pain.
Hallelujah.
You know?
Hallelujah.
And to believe him for these things. And to think on these things and to say these things. And last of all, choose life by what you do. You know, act on the right choices and be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, right? Because we got what we do determines what happens so often in our lives. So walk in the best wisdom we have and walk in faith. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Choose life because we've got, you know, it seems sometimes like a negative thing. Oh man, I would just wish God would just take care of everything and I wouldn't have to think about it, you know? But see, then we wouldn't have any free will and then we wouldn't have any choices. But we can choose life.
Yes, amen.
We can choose the right things. We can choose to walk in God's word. We can choose to meditate on God's word. What you think on, you bring on. I love that saying.
That's good.
You know, this is a good word if you think about it. Because, like, have you ever noticed you turn on the news and you start watching the news about all the stuff right now? And the news, honestly, they just want to sensationalize everything. Everything. I'm not saying nobody's died from this virus, but more people haven't died from this than have died from the flu that comes around every year. But man, you would think it's the end of the universe, wouldn't you? Like you were saying, people were going, is this it? Is this the end?
Yeah.
No, there hadn't been an Antichrist yet. There's stuff in the Bible that tells you when the end's coming. But this ain't it. And somebody said, this is the new normal. We're never going to go back. Oh, get real. Would you?
Yeah.
Get real. See, everybody's still a little behind this up in Ohio where I live now. And I told Diana, I said, I came down here. I said, I got to Georgia and everybody was just acting normal and eating restaurants. And I said, Diane, you'll be amazed how quickly we'll get back to normal.
Woo!
Normal feels right.
Yeah.
We were made for normal, right?
Yes.
Amen. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Man, when I first saw David, when we shook hands, I thought, oh, that's a beautiful thing. Haven't heard, done that in a long time. Amen. I just love it. So that's just what I hope it wasn't too fragmented. I just pray, oh, Jesus, let what you've put in my heart, let it be revealed by the Holy Spirit to the hearts of folks that are listening, Lord. God gave us free will. Same thing, He gave us dominion and authority. He's not to blame for the things that go wrong, but He is the rescuer from them. Amen? And if we walk fully before Him, why, that stuff's never going to happen, because we're going to make the good choices. Amen? We're going to choose life. Let's all, everybody say, I choose life.
I choose life.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, let's do pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that You will light up our hearts with the truth of Your word in this area, and that You'll help us to stand up tall inside and know that You have honored us so much to give us authority in our own circumstances and authority over our own lives. And that when we've had enough of something, we can have enough of it and be done with it. And God, that's not just has to do with a sickness, but so many circumstances that could be in our lives. We can speak Your promises and speak Your word, and You will bring them to pass for us. That You will enter our lives and work miracles if we will let You. But we do need to let You. So God, help us let You. Allow You to come in and do what You want to do in our lives, which is to bring peace and well-being and good things and healing and health and prosperity and all those wonderful things that were in the Garden of Eden that are in heaven. Oh God, turn on the lights and help us stand up tall and look to You, the Father of lights, to bring good into our lives and to expect it, God. Expect it. And to choose it and to walk in Your promises. We ask in Jesus' name.